Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. If you wish to call in and talk with me tonight, the number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number is on the screen in front of you. I am happy to hear from you. You don't have to agree with me. You can agree with me. You may bring up any type of issue you wish. I'm happy to discuss it with you. Normally, I open the show by saying, this has been a crazy week, and there's a lot of crazy things we have to talk about because of what has occurred this week. But I've got to tell you something. The last few weeks, the opening should be more like this. This has been a serious week, and we've got some serious things to talk about. And that's what we're going to talk about, the serious matters which are occurring right now in the world. First, the issue of ISIS, the Islamic State, and going into Syria. Should the United States go into Syria? I suspect our president has plans right now to bomb Syria. He's sending planes over to see what's going on. The next step would be bombing Syria. Here are my thoughts, for whatever they may be worth. Number one, ISIS. In a very short period of time, we hear about ISIS. They are real bad guys. They're into beheading big time. They insulted the hell out of us, the United States, this past week when they beheaded the American reporter, played it on the Internet. They use the social media, these people. They know how to get their word across, their thoughts across, their ideas across. They behead one of ours. They do it, they video it, they put it on the Internet, they're proud of it. They're beheading everybody, though, and this is the problem. This is how they do things. They're raping. They're not only raping women, they're raping 8- and 10-year-old girls. Every time they conquer a new town or a new village, all the women have to be raped. This is a big thing with these guys, and they're smart. ISIS is extremely smart. Number one, they have money. Every town they go into, they extort the merchants and the wealthy people, just like the mafia extorted people in this country in the 1920s and the 1930s. They go to the merchants. They go to the wealthy people in the villages and towns and say, pay up or we kill you and your family. Very simple. You either pay us X number of dollars on a consistent, steady basis, or your wife and you and your children are gone. So the people pay up. They also rob the banks. These guys are brilliant ISIS. They rob the banks as they go through the communities. They go in and take all the money out. There was a bank in Mosul that was holding $4.26 million. Why they had that much cash on hand, I don't know. But ISIS went in and picked up $4.26 million just like that without firing a shot. Now, there is wisdom to this and what they're doing, because with all this money, they pay their soldiers, the people who join them, who join their cause, join their army, whatever you want to call it, they pay them a salary. How many other radical groups in this world have their members paid? ISIS has enough money to pay these people. Not only that, they make sure that those following them, and they call them their soldiers, are sexually happy, because they go and they'll grab 100, they'll grab 200 young girls, and they will give them to the soldiers or sell them at $12 a head to their soldiers. Now their soldiers have social companionship. They got money in their pocket. They can party and at the same time go on and conquer the rest of the world for ISIS. And they openly say, we're going to get you, America. You're going to have more 9/11s. We are coming after you. Now, let's compare this, because we're in Iraq right now, going into Syria probably, and I'm saying, let's go do our thing in Syria. Hussein, Saddam Hussein, remember back? Bush 2 and Cheney, They're saying Hussein wants to hurt us, etc. Hussein never said a word about we're going to come and get you in the United States, that I want to bomb the United States, that I want to kill American people. He minded his own business. He was happy in the Middle East. He was a center of power. He had everybody in line. We should have left him alone. Everybody would have stayed in line. Be that as it may, Hussein never acknowledged wanting to hurt this country. I don't think he ever wanted to. And Bush, too, and Cheney come up with, he's got weapons of mass destruction. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That rang big with me, and I'm sure it rang big with you. Very few in this country can say they did not believe when we were told by our president and vice president that there were weapons of mass destruction, nuclear devices, okay? Remember, Cheney, our British friends have told us they have a bunch of aluminum, or they sold aluminum piping, which is required for certain type nuclear weapons, and they sold this to Iraq. And, you know, doomsday is coming, and Bush, too, had a lot of support for this war. And we went after Hussein. Now, it bothers me because are we getting the same BS from Obama that we got from Bush and Cheney? I don't think so, but none of us really know. But I'm going to give Obama the benefit of the doubt. I may not agree with him on everything, but I think this is a straight guy, okay? And here's my thought. I'm saying, let's go fight ISIS now. They are our enemy, not only of today, but big time tomorrow. They're only 17,000 or 50,000 strong right now. Nobody knows really how much it is. Let's go do what we got to do. We got enough people. We got enough militarization, enough guns, enough tanks, all that sort of stuff, enough airplanes. Let's go kill these people now before they get stronger. Because once they get stronger, I think we may have some problems here in our own turf. Let's not let this happen this time. Let's go do what we got to do, bombing them. And if we have to put boots on the ground, I support it, and I think the American people would support it under these circumstances. As sick as we are of war, because we were in 2 10-year wars we shouldn't have been in, and again, I have to blame Bush, too, I don't want another war. You don't want another war, but sometimes you got to stand up and knock somebody down, knock them on their ass so things don't get worse than they are, and I'm afraid if we don't do something, things are going to get pretty bad for us. Now, I want to stay with beheading for a moment. Beheading's gaining in popularity. Did you ever hear so much about it? I mean, I speak lightly of it right now, but ISIS is beheading everybody over there. It's the sport besides the American reporter. Well, sometimes you do something in one part of the world, and it encourages people in the other part of the world to do it. The crazies come out. And what am I referring to? An incident that occurred this week in Rome, Italy, in a very smart neighborhood of Rome, in a very smart apartment building in Rome, housing affluent of people. A man killed his wife and then cut off her head. He killed her and cut off her head. ISIS does that, too. They either cut your head off and kill you, or they kill you first, then cut your head off. Why, I don't know, but this fella killed his wife and then cut her head off, just like they did to the American journalist, perhaps. And then the police came in and shot the husband, and he's dead. They shot him in the head. But the point is, something that happens in one part of the world inspires, enables, and encourages the crazies elsewhere to come out. I want to get away from ISIS for a while here now, and I want to talk about a baby factory in Thailand. You know, some people in this world are inventive. They may be Henry Fords. They may be someone who just, you know, invented Microsoft or the Internet. They are Facebook. You got smart people who know how to make money, and they're not necessarily mature or older. We are in Thailand. The man's name is Mitsutaki Shigeta. Mitsutaki Shigeta, 24 years old. He makes and sells babies. Now, when I say he makes babies, he makes babies. He's in there, you know, he's the father. He has 16 surrogate wives, or surrogate mothers, let's put it that way. He had sex with all 16. He got these 16 ladies pregnant. These 16 ladies had babies. By the way, he puts them up in nice houses. They don't all live together, but the women, the babies live together, and the women, while they're pregnant, live together. And Mitsotakis, he shows up on occasion, and he has sex with them to get them pregnant and then keeps them happy afterwards. And he pays for the delivery. These ladies have the finest doctors. When the babies are born, he puts his name on the birth certificate as the father. Now, he's doing this to make money. He is selling babies unsupervised because there's no laws controlling this in Thailand. He's selling babies all over the world to people who need a child in their lives from $15,000 to $40,000 per baby. $15,000 to $40,000 per baby. This guy's making money. He's keeping his women, his young ladies. They're living better than they would live on their own. Everybody's happier. Is it legal? The government of Thailand is now looking at him. They don't know. They haven't arrested him because they don't know if what he's doing is wrong. It may be morally wrong, but is it legally wrong? And so far, they can find nothing illegal, and this man's making money. I want to go to Ferguson now and talk about Ferguson, Missouri. Bad times there. Bad times for our country. Maybe a good time for our country to wake us up that we got our asses in gear and face up to racism again, but face up to the militarization of police. I have been talking about the militarization of our police departments for 2 years on my television show, on this show, in my newspaper column, and in my daily blog. I'm not trying to blow my horn, but I was talking about it 2 years ago, and I've been talking about it frequently. Why are the police departments getting these tanks, these machine guns, all this picked-up equipment, uniforms that make them look like they're fighting on the streets of Iraq? Did not make sense to me. Well, you know what the militarization did in Ferguson. I think besides the shooting, the military gear showing up really pushed this thing to another level. I don't like what's happening in Ferguson, but it's not that I don't like what's happening in Ferguson because of the shooting of Michael Brown. That we all dislike. What I'm talking about is this, from the mayor to the police chief to the other members of the police department, to the prosecution, the prosecutor. These people are playing a game here. They're not coming out with all of the facts as they should, as they develop. Every few days we hear something new. Well, he was in the car fighting. The gun went off. He caused it to go off. I'm talking about Brown. The police officer, he has a fractured eye socket. We didn't hear about that for 10 days. The incident report, every police officer in any department in the country, once something occurs, they must go back to the police department and sit down and complete this incident report, which details specifically what occurred. Or they do it the next day. They got to do it fast. That's a requirement in every police department. No incident report for 10 days here. When we finally get an incident report, it doesn't say anything. What's happening here is a case is being developed in favor of the police officer, I believe, and opposed to the death of this young man. And I think along the way, because I practiced law for 46 years, I was a criminal lawyer initially, thereafter I was a civil lawyer, but on occasions someone of influence would come to me who got in trouble criminally and say, Lewis, would you please represent me? I'd say, I don't do criminal work. I want you. I had a reputation as a trial lawyer of some ability and talent. And I saw this happen where the police will get together. Police lie. You must understand. Government lies. Not all the time, but they lie. And that's what I think is happening here. Judges, they're not all straight. I mean, they're human beings. They have prejudices. And, you know, is the judge in play here? What's happening? But I see a case developing against the Michael Brown situation in favor of the police officer. I sense fabrication being developed. I sense questions being developed, which are all going to be to the detriment of Michael Brown's death and the black people of Ferguson. I don't like it. Nothing can be done about it. The ball game is in the hands of the prosecutor here. I hope that the Attorney General, the federal people, come out with their results, and if they're going to indict soon, early, Don't wait for the locals to do something. The feds do something before the locals even do it. And let's find out what really occurred there. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to stay with the police officers now for a while, for the next several minutes on this show, because there's some interesting things. I'm going to talk about not things you know, but things you don't know, or I think you don't know, because I didn't know them up until this past week. There was a 2011 study which said, in effect, okay, that that police officers kill more Americans in a year than terrorists, all right, kill Americans worldwide. In 2011, 155 Americans were killed by police officers in the United States. 155. Only 17 United States citizens were killed worldwide as a result of tourism, which meant, looking at the numbers, because these numbers are all screwy, that you are 9 times more likely to be killed in the United States by a law enforcement officer than by a terrorist. Now, why is all this developing? Well, the New York Times did an analysis, and I think this equipment, this military equipment, is a contributing factor, because it turns cops into soldiers. That becomes their mentality. And who they're protecting becomes a different person. They're protecting government as opposed to the people. Well, this analysis says, via the New York Times, that since 2006, police departments have received 435 armored vehicles, 533 planes. Excuse me for a moment. Why the hell does a police department need planes? They've gotten 533 planes, 93,763, do you hear that? 93,763 machine guns, 432 mine-resistant armored vehicles. Now, you tell me who in this country is planting bombs in the streets so that our armored vehicles get blown up. It doesn't exist, but we've got, with our police departments, 432 mine-resistant armored vehicles. All this amounts to, by the way, $4.3 billion worth of equipment. Well, let's jump into some more numbers. And I'm not saying these numbers are all consistent, but there's all these studies out here, and I selected two of them. There is, in this country today, an 800% higher probability that Americans will be killed by a terrorist than by the police, which means, in effect, in reverse, that you got a better chance, if you're an American, of being killed by the cops than by a terrorist, big time. The Economist, a respected publication, put out an article this past week that I found revealing, and you're going to find these numbers revealing. Do you know that in the past year, the time covered by this study, I forget if it was 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 409 Americans were killed by police officers in the United States. 409 Americans killed by police officers in the United States. Guess how many were killed in Japan? Zip, zero in the same period of time. Guess how many were killed in Great Britain? Again, zip, zero in the same amount of time. And in Germany, only 8 were killed in the same amount of time. Now you tell me, while we're killing, our police officers are killing 409 people, when Japan and Britain don't kill anybody, and in Germany, only 8. One of the theories put out, and this was in The Economist, and I alluded to it briefly a few seconds ago, is that we know the police are out of control. That's not even an issue here. But the article suggested that the police see the safety of the government as more important than the welfare of the people, that they view the people that they're sworn to protect as the enemy, and that their job is not actually to protect you and me, but to protect government from the people. All right, I want to stay with policemen again. I have found, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples, police generally shoot first and ask questions later. And think back over the last several months, how many times you've heard of shootings like the Michael Brown one, or where police killed someone, this guy in Staten Island. They just do the wrong thing. They don't handle things properly. You got to go slow when you got the power of the gun in your hand. All right. Now, here's the one of the most recent examples. San Jose, California. Female police officer. Not important that she's a female. I'm only doing this for purposes of description. A 19-year-old girl is involved besides. She sees they're having some kind of a confrontation. The 19-year-old girl was holding a black cordless drill in her hand. She lifted it up. The female officer, and they weren't that close together, didn't spend any time saying, hey, put the gun down, and it wasn't a gun. She made a mistake. She thought it was a gun. She shot and killed the 19-year-old. Now, this goes to training. Why are our officers so quick to shoot the gun today and kill somebody? It goes to the training. They should be taught that there has to be a degree of caution. We don't want you, the police officer, to get shot, but make sure you don't shoot needlessly. Which brings me to New Orleans. Another situation involving a female police officer. Ladies, I am not against women. Believe me, this is not a gender show tonight. It's just the way it has happened. We are in New Orleans, and this just happened, this here thing, this past January. What happened in January was this. The New Orleans Police Department issued cameras to the police officer. They were body cameras. They put the camera on their chest, and they were supposed to wear the camera at all times so that whatever occurred in front of them would be recorded. The police superintendent at the time said, and I quote, "This is the future of policing in America." Well, recently comes Lisa Lewis, female police officer, at a traffic stop. Armand Bennett, 26 years old, is in a car. She stops him. He had 5 outstanding warrants against him. He's got 5 outstanding warrants. She and Bennett, the police officer and Bennett, had an altercation the week before. And she didn't arrest him, but they had an altercation, and it's not reported exactly what it was, but they had a confrontation a week before. Now she stops him, says, "You got 5 outstanding warrants, whether you're going to arrest him or not." All we know is she shot Bennett in the head while he's sitting in the car. He didn't even pull a gun. I don't know if he even had a gun. She shot him in the head. And then she shot him again when he got out of the car and was running away. He's still alive, fortunately, in the hospital. Now, one of the problems is her camera was off. She never turned her camera on. Why? An accident or intentional? Under the circumstances, you have to question it. The other thing is the incident report. All of a sudden, incident reports are becoming important in these situations. She did an incident report as she was required to. No mention of the shootings. No mention of 2 bullets into Armand Bennett. She said she heard gunshots. That's all. And that she was hurt. She hurt her right hand. She doesn't say she shot Bennett in the head. She doesn't say she shot Bennett while he was running away. She doesn't say she shot Bennett. Now, doesn't that sound like a cover-up to you? The superintendent of police, though, says, no, it wasn't a cover-up. It was a blunder on her part, a simple mistake. I don't buy it. And now, this is another example. I'm going to stay with the police for a minute more, if you'll bear with me. This is a simple, common problem. I call it dating on duty. Police officers dating on duty. Now, this happens a lot in industry, though. The police were working, sitting at their desks on the city's time. They're working on time. They're in the business of working while they're doing this. And they're on the Internet. Looking at dating sites for women, okay? They're using a police database system. They're looking for women on the Internet through these personal dating sites, 2 Fairfield, California police officers. They're using company equipment on company time to search for women. Understand it again. Company equipment on company time to search for women. Now when they find a woman or two that they think they might like to date, They now use the state database that knows everything about everybody to check the ladies out further. It's called the California Law Enforcement Telecommunications System. It's the state police, it's the statewide police database. And they use this again to screen the women they liked and they were thinking of approaching. Now you would assume that they would be intelligent enough to keep this type activity between the two of them and not to share it with anyone. But they're openly talking about what they're doing to the other police officers. They're saying, I saw this one here, and I checked her out here, and do you know what? She got arrested for this back then. This one was a hooker once. Maybe she's susceptible. And they're talking about it. Wrong. And in front of other police officers, and one of the other police officers turned them in. Now these two guys are under investigation. I don't know how serious the investigation is because they're still working at their regular jobs, same pay, nothing has happened to them yet. Now we're going to get away from policemen. We're going to talk about food. I love talking about food, how we're getting screwed around on food. We're going to talk about China, who sells the United States cheese and butter. Cheese and butter being sold to the United States coming out of China. We all know, without me telling you, you don't buy food from China. Because every time someone's got sick, even though they're major food companies, the stuff was canned or prepared in China. We shouldn't be eating it. Their regulations, their standards are not as severe or as high as ours. And you get bad sick, folks. It's that simple. Okay. The Federal Food and Drug Administration, they control permits for selling food, what food can be sold, and how, and what you have to label it, and everything else. And this outfit isn't very strong. They don't do diddly dip for us. I'm going to tell you right now, I question very much a lot of things they do. And here's an instance. Their rules and regulations forbid the United States, anyone in the United States, to buy cheese and butter from Europe. We cannot buy cheese and butter that was prepared in Europe. This has been on the books for years. And no one gets sick in Europe from eating, and I can attest to this, I've been there many times, I eat their cheese and butter, but they won't let it come in because they're afraid we might get sick from it, the government, our government. However, they do permit, and permits is the work, licenses, to do what I'm about to share with you with regard to China. Food is grown in the United States. Food grown by the six mega farm, the mega agricultural companies, the ones who supply all our food to the supermarkets, like Monsanto, for example, okay? If the food is grown here or the materials that go into cheese and butter come from the United States, it is proper under the Federal Drug and Food Administration Act to send these things to China for processing. The milk and whatever else goes into cheese and butter, we said these big companies, these mega companies, send the stuff to China to be processed because it gets processed cheaper in China and with less stringent regulations. And then that stuff is sent back to the United States to be sold and for us to eat. Now, the problem is the rules only say that the FDA has put out, we'll look at what you're sending across. We don't look at what comes back, though. That's none of our business. We're only concerned by what you ship for processing, not what comes back when it's processed. It doesn't make sense to me. Simple thing doesn't make sense. Now, here's why these things happen. I'm going to go very quickly. My show's coming to an end. Why? Because people in the FDA work for big companies and vice versa. There's a former Monsanto vice president for public policy, Michael Taylor, probably making $200,000-$400,000 a year. He recently left Monsanto as a VP to go to work as deputy commissioner of the Federal Drug and Food Administration. Why? For $100,000-$150,000 a year? He's Monsanto's man there. That's how things get done. Not right, wrong, we're getting screwed. That is the show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I enjoy sharing my thoughts with you. You don't always have to agree with me. I hope you will return next week to hear me again. I know most of you listen to this in archive fashion or on YouTube or through Key West Lou during the week, and I'm glad you do, and I'm glad you tell your friends to listen because my numbers go up every week, and I love that. I wrote a book, remember, The World Upside Down. Buy it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble if you like the show. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to chatting with you again next week.